hey, this is good news you can use, and we are Pearls and Swine. I am Levi. Across from me sits John, and to my right is Travis, and today we're going to be talking about friendship. And you might be going, why in the world are these guys talking about friendship? We're not in grade school anymore. Statistics on this is that 54% of people state that they're lonely. And out of that, the older you get, the harder it becomes to create meaningful friendships. And the idea of friendship is kind of weird in one sense. Like, it's not, you don't need friends for survival. But why is it so much that we feel lonely if we don't have friendship? Why is it that we're disconnected? When we're disconnected, it just doesn't feel like right in our lives.
Not everybody feels lonely. There are times where it's good to be by yourself. But if you're like that forever or for a long time, yeah, it starts to wear on you. Isn't that why, like, solitary confinement is one of the worst things that they can do, to isolate somebody, as far as like punishment? I heard that somewhere.
Yeah, I think it starts to mess with your mind.
Your head, yeah.
Yeah, there's been experiments too with, you know, not in a long time, but back in the day with, like, keeping kids separated from people for their whole lives and no contact, and it messes them up.
So one of the things that I think is part of how we are created is we're created in the image of God, and that what that means is that God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, are in this relationship. They're in this eternal dance with each other. And they're in this friendship, if you will, with each other. There's a relational component to them. And I think that very same relational component is given to us. Jesus says, I no longer call you servants, but I call you friends. And if you know Jesus, if you've said yes to him, and you're a friend of Jesus. And it's interesting because in the scriptures, it talks about the prophets. They were servants of God. They spoke the truth of God. This is a different type of a relationship. It's not a servant, and we are servants of the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, but there's a relational component. He has invited us into the dance. And so I think it's part of our very nature of who we are as people is to have friendships, to have relationships.
Well, you took the churchy answer that I was going to start off with. Yeah, you're totally right. Like, it's like I was saying, it's okay to do stuff once in a while. Like, for me, I like to be alone from time to time. But if you do that, like, if my family goes away for a long weekend, the first day is, like, pretty cool. And then by that night, I'm starting to be like, well, it's way quieter here than usual. And then the next day, I'm like, man, I wish they were here, even if I have stuff to do. And that's my family with people that I see all the time. And, like, I think, you know, you look at even, you know, Jesus took his times to go and be with the Father and pray by himself, but he always came back and connected. He had his guys. He had his disciples. Mm-hmm. They didn't just, like, hang out at the woodshed or wherever carpenters went to hang out back in the day. Like, he did life with those guys, and that was a continual communal process that they walked through, hanging out together, teaching together, eating together, doing all those things. So even Jesus needed friends.
Yeah. He's a friend of sinners. That's right from the scriptures. Amen.
Jesus,
right?
Is a friend of mine. Should we break into that one?
No, I didn't go there. C.S. Lewis talks about friendship, and he writes this, like, little essay on it. And it's kind of this little treatise, if you will, on friendship. And he says some really fascinating things in there. One of the things that he says is friendship is unnecessary, like philosophy, like art, like the universe itself. For God did not need to create. Friendship is the least instinctive, organic, biological, and necessary. And he goes on in that, and he says, friendship has no survival value. Rather, it is one of those things which gives value to survival.
Oh, that's Lewis.
Good. Isn't that good? Yeah, it's so good. And I think one of the things that, like, the Proverbs talk about friendship, it talks about relationship. And in Proverbs 27:9, I believe it says, oil and perfume make the heart glad, and the sweetness of a friend comes from his earnest counsel. And I was thinking about that passage, like, what in the world does that mean, right? Like, you ever have one of those, like, oil and perfume make the heart glad? I don't know.
Sure.
Whatever.
You read that and I go, sure.
Yeah. It's not like I'm going home, ooh, give me some olive oil tonight. Some
perfume.
Yeah. But I think in ancient times, if you think about what they're actually saying, olive oil or any type of oil, it wasn't manufactured. It was discovered.
Mm.
Perfume wasn't manufactured. It was discovered. Even like if you think about, they didn't have refined sugar like we have. Mm-hmm. Like nothing, like you couldn't have a nice sweet treat like creme brulee. That wasn't invented yet. I love that stuff, by the way. you didn't have that type of sugar. And so when you found something sweet, it was, you discovered it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what he's saying about friendship. Like true friendship is something by the grace of God that you discover.
Yeah.
I think that's totally true. Because if you think back to some of the buddies that you had, like we hear stories about Birdman and Choppers and Fred. I was thinking back to my college days, like one of the best buddies that I had, like it wasn't anything that was manufactured. And I think a lot of relationships are like that, but friendship especially, like even mm-hmm. back to elementary school, I met Milton first day and he was just like crazy kid, loved cars, and he'd stick his hand on top of his head and spin it around so he'd swirl his hair and he'd go, woo, woo, hey, you want to play cars? And I was like, yeah. And then we became friends. Same thing with college, like the dude that lived across the hall from me had some similar interests. We started hanging out, playing video games, got to know each other, and then like, it's weird. Then you're friends.
We're buddies now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, that makes me think about, this is a dynamic I have a lot in my life right now. You know, friends that I don't get to see or talk to very often, you know, that whole idea of friends that you can just pick up with, you know, after not talking for a year and it's like, you didn't skip a beat. That it feels like a part of this too. It's kind of the natural that this just flows out of who we are. And it's also a really special thing when you get it.
Yeah. And I think that there's some things like about friendship that is like we give and we take in those mm-hmm. things. And all through, if you read the book of Proverbs, I think it has more references to friendship and kind of speaking of how to than any other ancient piece of literature. Mm. It's just chocked full of this stuff. And one of the things I was thinking about is found in Proverbs 29:5. It says, a man who flatters his neighbor spreads a net for his feet. And but it talks about this friendship idea, and it says that like basically you tell the truth to your friends. And there is this kind of give and take, and this we have the woo, 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 whatever that kid's name,
Milton.
Malcolm.
Milton.
Milton. I had a chicken named Milton.
My Milton was way cooler.
Delicious. Oh.
Yeah. But you have these, you have this, oh, you too, kind of connection with mm-hmm. this other person. But then it goes deeper. The sweetness of friendship gets deeper. It's like a cookie. Oh, we're getting a call, folks.
Hope it's a friend. Phone a friend.
It's like a cookie. A cookie isn't like, you can't just put flour and paste and throw some sugar on top. It's not a cookie. A cookie, it's like deep, the sweetness and the deliciousness is deep inside the cookie. Mm-hmm. In the same way, friendship is like that. And my friend, I trust them enough for them to be able to speak into my life.
Yeah.
And also, I trust our relationship enough to speak into their life in things that are really difficult sometimes.
Mm-hmm. And I bet with you, we're mentioning those friends that you don't see from time to time, like a year goes by and you can just pick right back up.
Yeah.
You probably have that deeper level where absolutely. You can challenge each other, you can speak into things, you can encourage each other. That's what I love about those types of friendships. Like, they're almost effortless in a way. You still have to invest in the relationship, just like any relationship. But like you have that trust built, and it's like you can speak back and forth mm-hmm. into each other. You can say the hard things, but it's not, you're not like super worried about what you're going to say. Am I going to offend him? Like, you just know that person at a deep enough level. You're like, no, you're being a knucklehead. I need to call you out, and vice versa.
Yeah.
Yeah. Better is open rebuke than hidden love. Mm. That's in Proverbs too.
Yeah.
And faithful are the wounds of a friend. and what is it? Profuse?
Profuse are the kisses of the enemy.
Basically, I heard one guy say this. A good friend will stab you from the front.
Isn't that awesome? Yeah.
That's true.
Well, and trust has come up a few times in this conversation already, and that's so key to a good friendship as well, you know, mm-hmm. because you have to have the trust, like you were saying, Travis, to be able to say something hard to that person and trust that the friendship will be strong enough to withstand that. Because, you know, that to me, you start to get into some of the purpose of friendship as well, you know, and the, you know, there, we were talking, there's lots of Proverbs about this. One of my favorites is Proverbs 18:24. It says, one who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. This is getting to like, how do you have success in life? Have good friends.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one of those basic things.
Well, I was thinking of just when you were saying that verse, like you're like, well, wait a second. I'm friends with my brother, or I'm friends with my sibling, your sister, or whatever. And that can be true, but they're still blood relatives. They have to like you. The interesting thing about a friend is there is no contractual relationship.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
They just love you for who you are. Mm-hmm. And there's something beautiful about that. It's not because you came from the same mama. It's because you are you, and mm-hmm. they know who you are. And that there's something beautiful and sweet about that.
Yeah.
And scary,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm that one dude, Jake is his name, and we both stood in each other's weddings. Same kind of guy. Like, you can go for a year without seeing each other and you just pick right back up. And like, it was weird because when that friendship started, it was just like a click, you know?
Yeah.
There was chemistry, man. But I do think that's actually true in like a friendship. There's something there, common interest, sure. That was a big part of it. But like, things, you could talk about those deep things right away, and like you were saying, Levi, like finding sweet things back in the day were an anomaly. It was something that you had to discover. It was not something you can manufacture. And whether it's, you know, a relationship with your spouse or your significant mm-hmm. other, you can't manufacture that. And the friendship thing, you can't manufacture either. Yeah. You know, sometimes I've had buddies who I'm like, oh, you guys like to hang out, and that's not the case. Like, it just doesn't work out that way. So finding friendship is finding that sweetness.
Yeah, and I think there's seasons of friendship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And but those really, really sweet ones, it doesn't really matter. Like, you can not see them for 10 years and you can walk right back in, and it is like you are just you and they are just them. And mm-hmm. there's something so profound and beautiful about that. One of the things that I have noticed is, you know, older people often will say, I'm lonely, and they've lost the art of, you know, I have no coffee buddies, or I don't have this, or I don't, no one is doing this, or, you know, whatever it may be. But there's also, in friendship, it's not always like what other people are doing for you. It's mm-hmm. what are you doing for other people?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how are you connecting as a good friend? What does it look like to pursue somebody else and pursue that relationship with other people? And, you know, one of the things that, about Jesus is his pursuit of us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ became a friend of ours.
Yeah.
And I think there's something so profound and beautiful about that. You know, his friendship, he says, no greater love that a man have that he lay down his life for another. His friendship to us, he went all the way to the cross and died on the mm-hmm. cross for us, which is like crazy in my mind that he would do that for us. But it's also crazy in the sense of how he overlooked our offense.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't deserve the cross. He overlooked and said, these are my friends. I choose to do this out of love for them.
Well, while we were actively enemies of his, he said, I will die for them as if, you know, they're mm-hmm. my friends.
Yeah.
With the goal of having that relationship, making it possible for us to have that relationship. I mean, it's unfathomable to me when I think about that aspect of this.
Yeah, and he never casts you out. Even if you're a knucklehead, mm-hmm. You know, 2 days from now, he's not going to cast you out. He's still going to be there. He still wants to have a relationship with you. Mm-hmm. He's still, when you come back and you repent, and he's always willing to forgive. And like perfect friendship.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really, like, as we look at Christ, I think we have to look at our own friendships, because I think the love of God that is found in that friendship in Christ should start to come out in our relationships. Like, mm-hmm. how do we forgive? Mm-hmm. How do we confront? Because Jesus says, he goes, hey, I come with grace and truth. Yeah. And we're all probably on one side of those things. Some people are much bigger grace givers. I'd rather tell the truth, because I like justice more than I like mercy. But Jesus is connected to both of those fully. And it's not like he jumps to one side or to the other. He just is. And he knows when to be gracious. He knows when to tell the truth. And those, there's so many relational things that we can learn from the person of Christ.
Not all of those are always easy. One of the things that just made me think of another passage in Proverbs of that is a true friend forgives and does not hold grudges. Mm-hmm. I think that's 17, chapter 17.
Yep.
Which I guess that one hits a little bit home for me personally, but you know,
kind of like the mafia, dude.
Yeah, loyalty is a big thing in the family. But where was I going with the same thing with Jesus? Like, we sin again and again. Like, Romans talks about how we were enemies of God, and then because of what Christ has done, we're accepted into the family. And, like, as friends, we can sometimes hold grudges with each other. But if you think about, like, a true friend, those 10-year don't see each other, get back connected, I think you might need a little bit more connection than that. But those years gone by and, you know, your families live in different places and you get back together, like, those are ones that it's hard to hold a grudge for.
Mm-hmm.
Usually because, you know, you're that iron sharpens iron type, and, like, you can speak that truth into each other. So if there's a problem, you know, it's not going to fly under the radar for too long. But that just shows, like, the beauty of how God works, that even though, you know, he calls us friends, he calls us sons and daughters when we've accepted his son as savior, but he doesn't hold the grudge against us. And for me, that's just a big one. Like, understanding his grace in a different way, painting it in through that picture of, like, not holding a grudge.
Yep. I think there's timing on everything, right? Mm-hmm. There are times where I'm watching my friends and I'm like, I want to say something, but they're all like, they're all jacked up right now. They're all, you know, mad about something. And like, it's not the time to say it.
Mm.
And so there's a proverb that in chapter 26, it says, like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, I'm only joking. And friends bring the right word at the right time with the right posture.
Mm.
And you know, I often use humor. That passage just gets me, because I often, well, I'm like, oh, I'm just kidding. I'm not really actually kidding half the time. And because I want to say it, because it's just irritating me because they're being knuckleheads, but I don't know how to really say it. And so sometimes I think it's just like being able to go, hey, I'm going to pray for you.
Mm.
And just letting it be for a moment. You don't have to fix. I don't have to fix my friends immediately, but I have to continue to pray for my friends and allow the Spirit of God to move in their lives. And there comes a time and a space, I think, if you wait, that it becomes much more natural a feel to, and it's not, you know, a fiery arrow in the moment that they're all upset. So,
yeah, and friendship's a two-way street. You know, it takes, if you want good friends, you've got to be a good friend. There is that component of, like, just finding that right person or group of people that you connect with, but having those opportunities where it's like, you can go deeper, you can mm-hmm. challenge each other, you can say the hard things, you can accept the hard things. You know, you're not going to be easily offended when your friend is like, hey, you know, I'm seeing this in your life. You're not treating your wife well, or you're not loving your kids the way that you should. And, like, those things are a gift from the Lord, man, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Timothy Keller summarizes a friend as one who always lets you in and never lets you down. Mm-hmm. And I think he's really talking about who Christ is, mm-hmm. because we're, but I think it's that's the ultimate, right?
Yeah.
Like, a friend is, he always lets you in, always ready for that relationship, and they are always faithful to mm-hmm. that relationship. And I think that's a pretty amazing thing to think about. We all have a friend in Jesus. If we've said yes to him, or even if we, are just kind of searching. If you will knock on the door, or if you will seek after him, you will find him, is what the scriptures tell us. And what a friend we have in Jesus. There's a song, I think, about that. Well, this is good news you can use. We hope you have great relationships and you have great friendships. If you're, this has kind of spurred you on to think about one of your friends, be a good friend, give them a call, shoot them a text, shoot them a note, and just tell them how much you appreciate them.
If you guys liked what we chatted about today or want to catch any of our previous episodes of Pearls and Swine, you can search those out, Evangel Houghton, on your podcast, Apple, Google, all those things. You can always check us out on our website, evangelup.org. And if you've got any comments or you've got suggestions for topics that you'd like to hear us cover, shoot those out to me, Travis, at evangelup.org.